And we're going to start with opening prayers. And those begin, fittingly enough, with the praise to Shakyamuni Buddha on page 3. Teacher, O destroyer, thus gone. When you, chief of humans, were born, you took 7 steps on this great earth, and you said, I am supreme in this world. To you who were wise at that time, I prostrate. Complete with your body, the free divine form, ocean of wisdom like a golden mountain, fame that blazes in the 3 worlds, supreme protector, to you I prostrate. A face like the stainless moon, a color like gold, to you I pay homage. The 3 worlds is not like you, who is free from dust, matchless one, endowed with knowledge, to you I prostrate. Protector endowed with great compassion, omniscient teacher, feel devotion-like merits and good qualities, to the best gone, I prostrate. Through purity, free from attachment, through virtue, releases from the evil gone realms, unique, supreme, ultimate meaning, to the Dharma of the great peace, I prosper. Revealing, teaching, homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma refuge, homage to the great Sangha, to all 3 ever devout homage, to all worthy of respect, bowing with bodies as many as all realms, atoms, and all aspects, the supreme faith I pay homage. Do not commit any non-virtuous action, accumulate virtue and goodness, subdue your own mind, this is the teaching of the Buddha, like a star, a mirage, a lamp, illusions, drops of dew, bubbles, dreams, lightning and clouds, look at all conditioned phenomena as such. Due to this merit, having attained the state of the all-seeing, and thereby subduing the enemy of faults, may I liberate migrators from the ocean of existence. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Guru. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. By the positive potential I create by listening to the Dharma, may I attain Buddhahood in order to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free of suffering and causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the joyful happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from holding some close than others distance. Respectfully, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I confess all my negative actions accumulated since beginning this time, and rejoice in the virtuous actions of all ordinary and noble beings. Please, Buddha, remain as our guide, and turn the wheel of Dharma into wholesome. Through the merit created by myself and others, may the two bodhicittas ripen, and may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings. This offering I make of a precious jeweled mandala, together with other pure offerings and wealth, and the virtues we have collected throughout the three times with our body, speech, and mind, all my masters, my items, and the three precious jewels, I offer all to you with unwavering faith. Accepting these out of your boundless compassion, please send forth waves of your blessings. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalakam Arathiyam. And then we'll recite the Heart of the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem. Thus did I hear at one time, Bhagavan is dwelling on a massive vulture's mountain on Rajagriha, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, Bhagavan was absorbed in concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time, the bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya, Avalokiteshvara, looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom and beheld those five aggregates also identified. And through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara. Ajitin, son of Vinny's trainer, who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom. He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra. Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this, correctly and repeatedly, holding those five aggregates also to them be inherent natures. Form is empty. Emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, compositional factors and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no being, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomenon. There is no eye element, and so on. Jayata, Gate Gate, Paragate, Parasamgate, Bodhisoha. Tayata gate gate, paragate, parasamgate, bodhisoha. Shariputra, the bodhisattva, mahasattva, should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan arose in that concentration and commended the bodhisattva, mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage. It is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom, just as you have indicated, in the Tathagata's rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Arya Avalokiteshvara, those surrounding in their entirety, along with the world of gods, humans, Asuras, and Gandharvas, were overjoyed and highly praised that spoken by the Bhagavan.
Good morning. Welcome to today's Buddha celebrate day. This is a very special day. Today is visiting and first visit in the Venerable in Tenzin Chogis. Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, Anilais, I know she's in a very long time, studied in Buddhism, too many years in the experience in Buddhism. She's in the camp in India, in Nepal, and Kopan Monastery. Yeah. Thank you. Actually, today in Buddha celebrated day, we are in Tibetan and Mongolian tradition is, our Buddhist tradition is Sagadawa. Sagadawa meaning in actually this fourth month. Actually, some Mongolian, we are talking in white month and merit month. This one, we are in whole month, we are action and working in Dharma work and very meditation, flying in temple. And some people in the home, an altar, circle around. Because this month and the 15th is very special. And Buddha is, he is born on the 15th. He is enlightened in the 15th in early morning in Bodh Gaya. Bodh Gaya is in three bodies and he sit down and 6 years very hard in the meditation after he is enlightened in Buddha. After he is in 45 years, he's teaching in Buddhism, he's in talk, any places and go to in the Buddhism. After he's in the 15th, this day, he's in the Paranirvana and die. He's a very special, you're looking for in. Only one day he's born, he enlightened, and after he's in in Nirvana. Maybe I am this, no one day. You know? No one day, no one. No. This Buddha is very special. He's in previous life, and too many made it. He's in too many previous life, and a good reconnection after he's enlightened in 15th, and born. And this day, and actually it's a Buddhist country, all in a celebration. And one day is no eating meat, five perceptions, and all day, and 24 hours, very good Dharma work. Today you are just coming the whole day, and very pleased you come this, and Dharma action work, meditation, maybe with mantra, and good work. Thank you very much.
Here we go. So thank you to Geshe-la and Lama Jinpa and Susan for inviting me to join all of you today on this special day. And it's wonderful to be here and to see the beautiful arrangements. I know you've all worked really hard to make it a gorgeous day. So Geshe-la and I were just talking kind of before coming in and just saying, you know, oh, we'll keep our remarks a little bit short so everybody can bathe the Buddha and have a nice festival day. But I was thinking about, you know, this day that we honor Lord Buddha, and I thought to tell a little story of an experience that I had leading a Buddhist pilgrimage. So I've been fortunate enough to lead about four or five pilgrimages to all of the Buddhist holy places in India and Nepal. And I remember I first did it the year of that I turned 50. And you're kind of supposed to go on Buddhist pilgrimage before you die. And I was feeling at that point like I was already living on borrowed time and I better just do it. And I had no idea how inspiring it was actually going to be there in the places where Lord Buddha lived and taught. And I'd been to Bodh Gaya before, but I hadn't been to the other places. So I'm on a bus with a group of pilgrims and we're going around. And so we started in India and then we crossed the border and went to Nepal to Lumbini, Lord Buddha's birthplace. And in Lumbini, we met, our local tour guide is Nepalese, and so he met one of his former professors from university in Kathmandu, who happens to be the chief archaeologist of the Nepalese government, Dr. Basanta Bidari. And so Dr. Bidari, we kind of ran into him in the hotel restaurant, and then he says, oh, I'm excavating Kapilavastu, the palace where Lord Buddha, you know, grew up. Do you want to come with me tomorrow? And I'll give you a tour. And we're like, oh, gee, let's see. Let's think about it. We're like, yes, please, right? So we go to this archaeological site that was all blocked off and actually being excavated. You know, the workers were all over the place with these kind of like huge walks full of dirt, you know, like on their heads and walking around. So Dr. Bidari is giving us this tour, and I remember at one point we get to some place, and he's kind of showing the outline of the palace with four gateways at each of the cardinal directions, you know, and this thing, and this is where they stored things, and this is where the king received visitors and all of this. And then we get to the eastern gate, and he said, oh, this is the gate that Lord Buddha rode off in the middle of the night. I think most of you probably know the story. Did not get permission from dad to leave the palace, right? Had to sneak out with the help of his charioteer, Chana, on his war horse, Kantaka, his beautiful war horse. And so we're standing at the eastern gate. And I have to say, of all of the Buddhist pilgrimage places, that moment I was so moved because I thought of the courage of Lord Buddha and the incredible bravery that he did that, right? Like we think of Lord Buddha and we think kindness, compassion, you know, we kind of think of these soft qualities. But in that moment, I said, whoa, he was so incredibly brave to do that. You know, not having any idea, leaving all security, all comfort, all the expectations, because they said that later when he was tested under the Bodhi tree, he was tested by Mara, you know, many things, and kind of dutifulness was the last test. Oh, you were expected to be the prince that would take over the kingdom, your sense of duty, you know. So I was thinking of the courage that it took for him to leave all of that, not having any idea. And I just stood there, and really tears came to my eyes just feeling such gratitude. Because here I was, 2,600 years later, this tall American nun in Buddhist robes. Like, if he hadn't done that, and if there hadn't been people with that same amount of courage, right? He had extraordinary courage because he charted uncharted territory, right? And you know, kind of developed the path for all the rest of us. We have the path and we have teachers, but we still need courage, as we all know. We need the kind of external courage to be on this path in a culture that doesn't really support what we're doing at all. No messages that we get from the media or popular culture are really much supporting what we're doing. And then the amazing internal courage that we need to just face our own minds. Meditation is not easy. I've done some long retreats, and I remember before going into one long retreat, this friend of mine said, "Oh, you're just going to be like blissed out for 3 years. It's so amazing. You're just going to be blissed out." And I was like, "Dude, ever tried to meditate? I don't know about you, but being in solitary confinement with this mind is no picnic, right?" And just, you know, the courage that we need to look within, to work with our mental afflictions, to work with our minds, and to really overcome that grasping onto this identity that mostly the default mode is all of our actions building up this false sense of ego and going in and bravely tearing it down. So that's the quality of Lord Buddha I'd just like to kind of raise up today as we celebrate Lord Buddha's life, his enlightenment, is just that courage and determination and fearlessness. Because I think that's a quality that we all really need also in the spiritual path. So I wanted to share my insight. And still, I've gone back to that place many times, and I still stand at that eastern gate and have that reflection, and it really keeps me brave, you know, when the going gets tough, thinking of Lord Buddha's courage. So thank you. Sure.
Was the site you visited the one that's actually in the land boundary of Nepal now, or the alternate site that's supposedly in there?
Yeah, I went to both, and I vote for Nepal, like, for sure. Like, yeah, yeah. And of course, you know, I can understand why India claims that Kapilavastu is in India, but the layout archaeologically is clearly a monastery and not a palace, whereas the site in Nepal is clearly the layout of a palace. So having been to both places, and it's not just my fondness for Dr. Bidari, but it just seems really clear that Nepal is the valid Kapilavastu. Yeah, great question. So yes, nearly wiped out. And so what happened was there were invaders from the Middle East, the Mughal invaders that came through. And at that point, it was right kind of at the end of the flourishing of the great monastic universities like Nalanda University, Vikramashila, Takshila, these huge monastic universities, mostly in the Ganges River Valley, one kind of in the area of what's now Pakistan. And so they destroyed the monasteries, and Buddhism was really kind of preserved in those monastic institutions. And this is the flourishing of those monasteries was between about 800 and 1200 of the Common Era. And so by the end of that time period, Buddhism was pretty much wiped out in India, in the land of its birth. Luckily, it had transmitted fully to Tibet by that period of time, also even earlier to China, then the other kind of stream of Buddhism to Sri Lanka, Thailand, and so forth. But His Holiness the Dalai Lama often refers to Tibetan Buddhism. He doesn't even really like the word Tibetan Buddhism. He calls it the Nalanda tradition, pointing to the roots in those monastic universities, especially in Nalanda, with the full philosophical flourishing that happened during that time period. So yeah. And then there's a revival now. Dr. Ambedkar, who was a Dalit, or formerly known as Untouchable, revived Buddhism among the community of the Dalits, and then also, obviously, due to the invasion of Tibet and so many refugees coming into India. So, you know, within the refugee community and the former Untouchables, there's a revival of Buddhism in India in recent decades. Thank you.
Have closing prayers. Closing prayers first. Yeah. Oh, you can. Okay. All right. So, all right. This on? Yes. Okay. Closing prayers are on page 15. And then following closing prayers, we'll have bathing the baby Buddha ceremony. Due to the merits of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of the Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel bodhicitta that has not arisen arise and grow, and may that which has arisen not diminish, but increase more and more. May the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All powerful is the earth, and you are so. Please remain until the Sahara ends. May the teachings of the Buddha flourish, and may the upholders of the teachings remain forever. May all migrators achieve happiness. May they fulfill all their temporary and ultimate goals. Losang, magical display of the deep awareness of all the victorious ones, merciful giver of a stream of profound and vast instructions to the fortunate migrators, please remain always unperishing, unchanging, unfading. Avalokiteshvara, great treasure of objectless compassion, Manjushri, master of flawless wisdom, Vajrapani, destroyer of the entire host of Mars, Tsongkhapa, crown jewel of the snowy landscape, Tsongkhapa,